It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning. You're on the Marilyn York Show, and I'm sorry in advance if I cough or sniff into the microphone. I have like hantavirus or something, God knows, with my Petri dish children living at my house. I am here with none other than the controversial Richard Gammack, Dick Gammack, Washoe County District Attorney. Welcome to the studio, Dick.
Thank you, Marilyn. Glad to be here.
So I know you guys are dying to talk to him because we've already had callers before the show has even started. So I'm going to give you the number. Obviously, people know it because, like I said, they were already calling. 823-1920 if you want to talk to him. If you're little pussies, and I know some of you are, you can also Facebook me questions. It's up on my screen now. And I won't even tell him your name because he'll have a file on you. That's the rumor. So
that's the rumor.
I know. Do you have a file on me, Mr.
No.
Gammack? I don't think I've done anything, but I did get an MIP when I was 14 for holding the beer can. So I'm going to confess right now. That's good. That's all there is. So let's talk about this job you have, the thankless job you have. Why do you want this job still after 16 years, has it been?
I was a police officer with Reno, and I met Ron Bath, who was at that time teaching business law at the University of Nevada. And him and I really hit it off very well. And he was also teaching a class down at McGeorge School of Law and criminal law to Nevada students on Saturdays. So he asked me to go down and teach. And I said, I'm just a street officer. What do you want me for? And he said, oh, come down, show me what you do and everything else and show the students. And I said, okay, fine. We went down, had a great trip, met some of the deans, went out to dinner, just really had a good trip. I came back to my wife and I said, what do you think of law school? And she said, I don't like you on the street anyway. And we had two children. I was making a cop's pay. We didn't have money to go to law school, so we just started scratching our heads to figure it out. And we managed to do it. I went to law school with one intent, and then Mills Lane and I were friends. And he's the second guy that really jumped in there and helped me. I took the LSAT last time it was offered, passed it, hit a high enough score that they allowed me to come in. And we went to law school, and I went there with one intent. And that was to come back and be a prosecutor. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I want to do in the law. I don't care about the rest of the law. Every one of us that are attorneys have our bag, and mine is prosecution. And so I went to law school and came back, went to work for Judge Foreman for a while as his law clerk, and as soon as the position opened up in the DA's office, that's where I went. That's where I've been ever since. With one hiatus, I had a year and a half where I was legal advisor to Reno Police Department, which stayed in the same ballgame. But I love what I do, and I love holding people responsible for their crimes. I love going after bad guys. Not necessarily. I don't believe in hammering everybody, but the bad ones, absolutely. Do everything we can to them legally and ethically. And I still like doing it. I like running the office. We've still got things to do that we've started, and I decided to go for another term.
So does it help in your current position that you have the police background? Because obviously some of your predecessors didn't have that background.
Yeah, you know, Marilyn, it was almost like it was preordained when I started looking at doing this to become the district attorney to run for it. Because I had, at that time, I had 25 years in the Army, in the Army National Guard. I commanded several units. I did a lot of management. I did a lot of budget stuff. My degree from the University of Nevada is in accounting. I'd been a street officer, so I knew about that. I'd prosecuted for 10 years, and during that 10 years, I prosecuted just about every major felony in the state of Nevada. I don't even know how many murder cases. I was in charge of the murder team. I've done, I believe, 8 death penalty cases. So I had a real good working knowledge of the law and courts and prosecution and doing those things, of management, of budgets, of all the things I would need to come in and take this job. And it just seemed like everything just fell into place. 4 of us ran for it at that time. The political people in this state were calling me number 5 in the race. Everybody kept saying we didn't have a prayer. We spent 2 years walking this county. And people even today come up to me and say, you were at my house when you were walking. Mm-hmm. It just all fell together. And bam, ran for it. We made a very good showing in the election. I was lucky to have 3 unopposed races. We haven't had You don't have any wood in here, so I'm just using the old brain.
Yeah, no, it's all for Micah, I'm afraid.
The old noggin. We haven't had any major blow-ups in 16 years. We've got a tremendous team put together. The people who are John Helzer's number two in the office. He's been with me the entire time. Paul Liparelli came on board for our civil division. We've had some outstanding other people that have been there. Maddie Shipman was head of civil for a long time, and then she retired. And we also had I just spaced it. Unbelievable. But we've had other people who have had high leadership positions that have been just fantastic, and we've got a great team in there, and it's really working well.
As evidenced by the Bela verdict, I will say that, for the community. So budget. Let's talk about the budget, because you have the background, and that was important, as you just indicated, but probably not so much as today. So what's going on with the budget in the DA's office?
I don't know. Last year and a half, I had about a $21 million plus budget a year and a half ago, and now I'm about $19 million. I've lost about 14% of my budget. And for personnel, that's the critical place. We had 210 people on board. We've lost 39, which is 18% of our workforce. But hopefully we've done it smart. We spent hundreds of hours working this out, and we're in a position now where we can still do all of our mandates that we're required to do. We still have a fully functioning criminal division and civil division, family support. We outsourced some things. We took some. We took a program and sent it back to the state because all it was doing was costing us money. We did some reorganization. We did a lot of things and worked on this real hard. So we're still fully functioning today. We got rid of some programs that were good to the people of Washoe County, but that weren't mandated. So today we're doing well. Now, if we get hit again, I don't know. I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go, because it's going to hurt even more so, because now we're going to start getting into the stuff that we're mandated to do. And I'm not sure where that comes out. The legislature says thou shalt. Is the commission going to be in a position where they have to fund those stuff, that stuff? I don't know. That's still a question that hasn't been answered.
I will say, being personally involved in the Family Support Division, I have seen no difference. And it used to be far larger in size, and they did a lot more things. But, since that structure changed, it looks exactly the same.
No,
and
we
so
still
I'm impressed with how many cases they can get through and how quickly they are. I mean, you got some good girls over there, but they get through so many cases, and they do it just as efficiently as ever, if not more so. It's amazing. So
yeah, Carrie and Susan have been there for a long time. In fact, they were there when I came in.
Those girls can do it in their sleep, but
They're good.
They are. They're amazing. So anyway, I'll just say that. So let's talk about the John Helzer grooming, because I know that's one of the opponent's big concerns, shall we say, your intention to turn your job over to John Helzer. Is that true? What's your position on that?
I've made no secret that when I'm ready to go to pasture, so to speak, which won't be that because I have too many other things going on that I can just jump into. But when I'm ready to come out of the office, I've made it no secret at all that John Helzer has been we talked about it when he first came on board, and he's been groomed to go ahead and take over the office. He does a lot more than just his criminal division responsibilities. I share a lot of other things with him, so he knows what's going on in the office and everything. He's a very smart man. And the problem with that office is it's always been a political stepping stone. People will come in for one term, do that term, then they go somewhere else. And there's been a myriad of places, judgeships, political offices, everywhere else they have gone. What I'm trying to do is turn that corner as much as I can. I can't control it, but I'm trying to do what I can to make that a professional office, to make it a office of people who want careers in there. I'm not just grooming John Helzer. We're grooming several other people in the office, too, for ultimately maybe they'll be looking at running for the office or taking it. If I wind up doing another full term, then John will run for it. If I don't wind up taking another full term due to any number of reasons, health reasons, I have to look at my family's health and everything else, then I plan on nominating him to take my position. I am running for this office because I like doing the work, and I plan on being there. But I can't. I don't have my crystal ball. Got cloudy this morning. I actually dropped it, and it doesn't work anymore. So I can't tell you what the future bears, but I'm sure not going to leave this county in a position where nobody knows anything that's going on, and then something happens to me, and what do we do? That's not going to happen.
So is it your intention currently, as we sit here, to actually retain the position for the full term if you get elected again?
I am running for the district attorney's office for re-election with the intent of finishing my obligation.
Okay.
We'll see what happens down the road.
Sure. All right.
I'm not going to tell you I will be there 4 years. Who knows?
Fair enough.
The great Lord has things to say about that, too.
The boss down the street.
Yes, he does.
So
and that's another. Let me finish that one up, too, because that's another thing that my opponent has been saying that I highly resent. And that is that John Helzer and I live across the street from each other. That's true. But then he goes on to say that when I retire and John takes it over, then I'll still be running the office. When I retire, my law license is going to the State Bar of Nevada, and I'm going to go do other things. I've been practicing law now since 1982. Once I retire from this job, I have no other interest in the law. I have no intention of going any other direction. I have other things I want to do. I intend to stay with the Reno Rodeo and continue doing what I do there, the Boys and Girls Club of Truckee Meadows, Reno Rotary, and all. I've got a lot of other things and a lot of other irons in this fire, too, that I intend to keep pursuing.
Wasn't he saying, though, that you're really going to run it like the puppet master behind the scenes?
I mean, that's what he's been saying, and that's exactly what I'm saying is a bunch of BS. Is not going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. So the budget issues, I forgot to ask one question. I know that he was alleging that you refused to allow the DA's office to be audited. They asked to audit you?
Let's kind of set the theme for all of this. It's real easy to come in as an unknown without the experience, without the training, without the education, without really the background to take this job and just start shooting at everything you possibly can. And most of the stuff that's coming out is not true, but I fully understand that. He's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame. He's trying to get recognition. And so I understand what he's doing, but that doesn't make it valid. So I would take everything he says with an absolute grain of salt. Every single account we have in that office goes through the county comptroller's office, goes through finance office. There are some accounts that are mine exclusively to control under the law, but they are still through the county, through the comptroller, through the finance division. And right now there's a team of auditors in the county. Every one of those accounts get audited, and I believe every year. I have a financial person in the office, and that's all she does. Her job is to take care of the finances. She has the background. She has the experience and the training to do that. And there isn't a single thing that goes through there that's not accounted for. So that is just pure junk.
I think he was saying, though, that the county was trying to do a full audit on the office and that you'd refused. Is there any truth to that?
Not when you come to financial audits. Not so whatsoever. They have an internal auditor that goes around and looks at the practices of various departments. That he is not an attorney. He has no experience in criminal law. He has no experience in criminal justice. He has no experience in what we do. So I said, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to accept you sending in somebody to try to second guess what we're doing when he doesn't have any experience or training in what we do. So that part of it I have refused to do, but that has nothing to do with any of the mandates, the finances, or anything else in that office.
And because you're the DA, you can refuse to have him audit.
I am an elected official. I answer to the public, to the people of Washoe County, not to anybody else in the county, with exception of the Board of County Commissioners, has control over the budget.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to go to a break and hear a word from the sponsors, and then we'll be back to continue talking with Dick Gamek.
Not just news, your chance to talk about it. Fox 1270 in the morning, weekdays at 6 on Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Here's Sharon Angle.
On Harry Reid's watch, Nevada's unemployment rate has shot past 14%, highest in the country. Our foreclosure rate is highest in the nation. Home values have dropped almost 50%. Those aren't just numbers. They're people who've lost their jobs, families who've lost their homes. Harry Reid's dragged Nevada down to perhaps its lowest point ever. And he wants to call me an extremist?
Paid for by the friends of Sharon Angle.
I'm Sharon Angle, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I have Dick Yamick in the studio, and we were just talking about the budget, which I'm sick of personally, but I thought I'd talk about it anyway. If you guys want to call in, 823-1920 is the call-in number, and some calls have come in, but I know that they are calling on subjects that are really lengthy, and so I am using my evil powers to not take those calls because I don't have time. I wish I did, but this is an hour show, so we have to stick with subjects that aren't as deep in nature. So please call if you have a quick question or comment for our district attorney. Use a fake name if you want. He won't stalk you. So what is going on in the DA's office that you're proud of as far as the programs you've put in place that are still going on? You mentioned briefly. What have you put in place that you're proud of?
Well, we've hit several programs, one of them being the CARE SART program. And what that is a sexual assault program where we take victims of sexual assault, both adults and children, and have a facility now that we've built. We have professional teams of doctors and nurses that are just absolutely phenomenal. Our CARES program is the children program. In fact, we just brought on another pediatrician, just came on board, so that's two doctors now that we have there. Plus, we have the nurse practitioners who are trained in this field. And then we have the SART program, which is the adult program. Dr. Davis has been with us since its inception. He's our doctor. And then we have several nurses, RNs, who are trained in forensic investigation. And they collect evidence. We have a facility that is state-of-the-art. Thanks to Senator John Ensign, he got $1 million HUD grant for us. That didn't quite do it, so we went to some of the foundations, local foundations, and we were able to raise $1.6 million to build that facility and put in equipment and supply it, and not a dime of Washoe County money went into that.
Very cool.
So we were really happy with that. Northern Nevada Medical Center came across for us. They charged me the outrageous price of $1 a year for 20 years for an acre of land to put this facility on.
Nice.
So we have a very professional facility there now, and it doesn't just quit there, Marilyn. When we have sexual assault victims come in, we have to do what we have to do in order to collect evidence and do everything there. But then we also take care of medical situations. We also pay for counseling and take care of that. We refer them over to other agencies or other people that we may need to have help. And then we jump into our victim advocates, which are
They're amazing, I will say, from personal experience. They are amazing.
Just great people. Mm-hmm. They're available in all of the major law enforcement agencies. And then we have five in the office. And they have degrees in their areas. They are very good at what they do. They've been doing it for a lot of years. And the victims pick up from them. And we do as much as we can to cushion this for victims, but it's still tough.
Absolutely. But I will say that that system works very well, again, from personal experience. Karen, on line one, you want to talk to our district attorney? What's your question or comment?
It's been brought to light many instances where the CARES nurses made incorrect findings of abuse when in fact...
Let's get down to one time that claim was made. Let's be factual, though, Karen, please.
Excuse me?
Let's be factual, please. One time.
I am being factual.
No, you're not.
That was the concern that Rene Botello had that he brought...
One time from Rene Botello.
May I speak?
Will you be factual, please?
May I speak?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Botello had concerns about the CARE team, and you undeniably, absolutely blackballed him. And there are cases coming forward that shows that your CARE team, as wonderful as an idea that it was at the time, I believe that also it's not wise that you oversee the CARES program yourself when your job is to obtain convictions. So, undeniably, and I can send whoever wants to know where your...
You can go ahead and address that, Mr. Gammack.
Karen got disconnected.
There was some feedback. It sounded like her radio was up too loud.
Yeah.
But go ahead and address the concern if you have a comment.
Well, Karen wasn't even close to being anywhere near factual. That's the only reason I interrupted her, because I don't like doing that. But there was one claim by a detective who was in the Washoe County Sheriff's Department that CARES had done some bad things. When we got into that case, we came to find out he was Spanish-speaking, and he was working Spanish cases, interpreting them. He put words in the mouth of the suspect that he had confessed when, in fact, he had not. He put words in the mouth of the victims, the two young children, that they had said that he had done A, B, C, and D. And once we had a certified translator change all that, that wasn't true. There were all kinds of things that weren't true there. And so we pursued that avenue by telling the agencies that we would not use him as a witness, that he had committed perjury in court, and that we would not pursue that any longer. Rene Botello sued us for our allegations. We had two trials, and it was an absolute complete defense verdict. He never prevailed in one single claim that he made. We did have one issue there, and that was one of the nurses and the way she described what she saw. And when I had a discussion with her, I said, "What did you see?" And she told me, and I said, "Well, shouldn't you maybe have said it this way?" And she went, "You're absolutely right." She had used wrong language, and you've been around courts for a long time yourself.
Unfortunately, yes.
You have to make sure that people relay what they actually see or do, as opposed to making a twist to it or something that will just throw the whole thing off. So the nurse, she'd been there for a long time. She retired shortly thereafter. I would like to have Karen cite any other cases when she said there's all these cases coming down on CARES. We have been extremely successful. We work very hard with that team. It's in our office because we administer the program. When it comes to the medical aspects of this, and we have this understanding with every one of the medical people that are there, they are independent contractors. Their opinions are their opinions. And we may ask what it means, and we may ask how do we handle this and everything else. But when they come through with their opinions as to what they are. And there's a lot of times when we don't pursue a case because their opinions will not support the allegations that have been made.
I was just going to say the best place this can ever be legitimized is a courtroom. And to think for one second that you can get a biased medical examiner in a criminal defense case and it won't come to light is a joke. It's when you go to the hospital, you're in deep SH because there's no other side attacking them and they don't have their own expert. I mean, you're in a courtroom. This is the best place to get legitimate medical information because, again, you have your own team as a defense attorney. You have your own expert, and they're going to look into everything with an infinite budget when somebody's, you know, security is on the line or permanent jail. It's really a great place to be when you want the truth in a courtroom, to be honest. it's just me being a lawyer, I know, but it is. It's very interesting to me.
And one other thing she mentioned is my job is to get convictions. That is about as far from the truth as you can get. Our job is to do justice, and that's exactly what we do every day. We work very hard at doing that. We absolutely do not want to convict an innocent person any more than we want to let a guilty one go if we can get them ethically and legally.
Well, and the only other thing I'd like to say is, you know, a CARES exam or an exam of an abused child is not black and white. I mean, you can, unless there's a ripped hymen, even then, you don't know what ripped it. I mean, hymens are easy to break. I'm sorry. So that's the reality.
Every one of those cases, the examinations are done by either nurse practitioners or registered nurses for the children's nurse practitioners who have the training, forensic training and everything. They have the experience. And then they're all reviewed by a medical doctor who also has the training and experience before we ever go forward with them. So we can leave it at that. I think we pretty well beat that one to death.
But, of course, I wish they were black and white because I certainly have clients that are wrongfully accused of it, and it's hard to figure out.
I hear you.
Mark, on line two, you have a question or comment for Mr. Gammack.
I just have a comment, and I think your stance on possession of small amounts of marijuana is out of ridiculous, and it's a waste of taxpayer money to prosecute people. Thank you.
All right. I wonder if Mark got high before he called or...
Well, I'm just curious what he's talking about.
What is your stance on marijuana?
The legislature has said that any a possession of an ounce or less is a misdemeanor. So I'm not sure what he's talking about. My personal druthers are, and what I've been very vocal about and what I will continue to stand on, I don't believe in the use of any illegal drugs. Marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance. It's a very dangerous substance. But the legislature has made the call that that's a misdemeanor, and they've also made the call on this stuff called medical marijuana, whatever in the heck that is. I've never figured that one out. Marijuana is marijuana.
Yeah. All right. Well, it used to be a felony. I know that it's lesser charge now, but...
Yes.
Okay. So let's get back to what we were talking about in the specific office. But before we do, who is Roger Holmes as far as you're concerned? I mean, I had him on the show, and I learned what he'd like the public to know about him, but what's your stance on him as your opponent?
Well, that's it. He's my opponent. He worked in the office at one time. We had some issues, and I didn't ask. I demanded he leave the office, and he left. At one time, while he was in the office, he left and went out in private practice and then decided to come back. After he left this last time in 2006, he went to work for the alternate public defender's office defending crooks, and that's his decision. It's not in my DNA makeup will not allow me to defend people. Defense attorneys are a very necessary part of the system. Absolutely. There's no question about it. But it's not in my makeup. I went to law school, as I told you, for one reason, to prosecute people, and that's what I do. After he did that, he left the alternate public defender's office, and then after that, he retired.
Were you guys friends? I mean, he said you guys have a long friendship.
We had hunted together for a lot of years. Our families got together for a lot of different things. Well, we did a lot of stuff together for a lot of years. That pretty well went down the tubes. And
I would imagine today, yes.
His campaign has been based on attacking me and my family and coworkers and just attacks all the time. Like I said, I can understand that when you're trying to get name recognition. But being on the receiving end is not a lot of fun, and I'm sure he doesn't
not
care
tight
one
for
way
the friendship.
Or the other. Well, there is no friendship. He's got very strong feelings against me, and that's his problem, not mine. I'm here to run for re-election based on my qualifications. I'm the only candidate who served his country. I did 7 years active duty in the United States Army. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've been shot at. I've shot back. I've still been able to continue my mission under actual gunfire, not just what we see in the court and everywhere else. I did another 18 years in the National Guard. I've been commanders of units. I've done budgets. I have all this experience behind me, and I have for 16 years managed that office and managed the budget, managed the personnel. And he doesn't have any of that experience. I was a supervisor. I was a team chief. I headed up the murder team, as I told you. So I've got just a ton of experience that Mr. Holmes does not have to bring forward. And so he thinks he has to do. I'm not appreciative of it. I don't particularly like it, but I'm doing my own thing. He can do whatever he thinks he needs to do.
We have a break and we got to take it. So when we come back, we'll continue to talk about Mr. Holmes' qualifications compared to Mr. Gammack's qualifications. And I have a few other budget questions and the like. Talk to you guys in a minute.
Michael Savage has an opinion.
If we still had a head of the FBI who hadn't been gelded, I wouldn't have to be doing this job.
On Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
It's good to be king and have your own world. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls. A sweet little queen who can't run away. It's good to be king, whatever it pays.
Here back on the Marilyn York Show, and Dell's music choices always make me laugh. We have Dick Gamick in the studio. It's good to be king was the lead in for you, Mr. Gamick. Would you like to say anything else about Roger Holmes? Because we had a break kind of cut us off and we were right in the middle of that. So let's start there. 823-1920 if you guys want to call in, and we have a few calls waiting, but go ahead.
I just had one more item on just comparisons on experience, and this is for qualifications of the job. Those I've been wanting to discuss. And he is he claims he has 100 jury trials. That I don't know. We're kind of pulling up some records to take a look. But one thing I do know is that during his entire 18 years, he had 3 murder cases assigned to him. He took one to trial, lost that. The other 2 were pled. During my term as a prosecutor, I had a 95% conviction rate. I don't even know how many murder trials. I'd have to go back and dig all that up. I had a ton of murder cases because I was the head of the murder team for 3 years. And then I had 8 death penalty cases, and we put all but 2 of those individuals on death row. So the experience-wise, I've got just a whole lot more courtroom experience, especially with the major cases, the ones we wind up handling. And as you're aware, we've had some really serious major cases over the last few years.
Yes, indeed.
Capping it out with Biella, but we've had a lot of others. We had a state officer that was murdered by her husband, and we had 12 people killed in a fire, and we had a judge shot and the wife brutally murdered, and him taken off to Mexico and having to bring him back from there, and then getting other agencies involved. And we've had some really major stuff over the years, and I think my experience has really helped get through those.
Roger Holmes wanted me to ask you if you think he's a good lawyer, because he thinks you would say yes. So he a good prosecutor?
I hate to even get into that, because then we start getting into personalities.
Effective. Let's use effective prosecutor.
I've seen where he has said that, where I would have to admit to that, and I don't, and we'll just leave it at
that.
And
you won't. All right. There we go. We asked it. Bob, on line 2, do you have a question or comment for our local district attorney?
Yeah. You mentioned the military service, and you're the only one in this race who has it. I'd like to know, I understand that you were kicked out of the military for shooting up a mess hall. And that forced you into the National Guard. Would you like to comment on that and tell the listeners?
Well, I sure like to have somebody. Will somebody please call in that has their facts straight? I was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We had a race riot come up in my unit. I responded to the unit. I had a weapon with me. It was never discharged. We put the riot down. We got everything quiet. The colonel that was in command did not agree with the action I took. So he wrote me an adverse OER. Then I was later released from active duty along with a whole lot of other people in the reduction of force. I turned back around, joined the National Guard, and spent another 18 years and retired as a major. I hope that answers your question. Now, can somebody call in that has some facts?
Were you drunk when you went into the mess hall with a gun, like
no.
I've heard?
No.
There we go. All right. Well, I guess he's not afraid to answer questions, people. That's the fun part. Unlike some people, he's not asking anyone to get hung up on. So there you go. Nor did we hang up on anyone. The last gentleman hung up himself. So the funding issue, the one call made me think, are you guys having to not prosecute any of the smaller cases yet as a result of the budget confinement?
No. And I remember we've talked about that before when we knew the budget was going to get chopped a lot. And I made comments about having to prioritize our prosecutions. And there may be some misdemeanors and stuff that would fall out of the mix. But so far, we've been able to, all the things I explained earlier through the restructuring and reorganization, all the things we've been able to do, we have been able to still hang on. We're still doing that. I'm hoping we haven't seen that spike or that big increase in crimes because of the economy. And I hope and I pray that that doesn't come. But we haven't seen that yet. So it's been good.
So do you guys prosecute those small marijuana possession cases?
If they're brought in to us on the misdemeanor level, then our misdemeanor team handles those, of course. And I think all we can do on those is a fine, unless it's repetitive. So it's a misdemeanor case. It comes in with the rest of our misdemeanor cases, and we prosecute most misdemeanors. When I came into office, my whole priority, the whole thing that I shot forward with was to prosecute violent crimes, particularly crimes against children and women and elderly. And that has been our main focus. We have not put aside or ignored other crimes, but we will take those first and go after those the hardest. And then we take care of all the other crimes. And between that and what we've been able to do with deferred programs, such as our fraud check diversion program, we've been able to keep our heads above water.
I do use as a threat, I'll admit it, when people like to send me bad checks to pay my legal fees.
We've returned almost $7 million to this community in the fraud check diversion program.
It's worked. I've used it, I think, 3 times. When they sent me a bad check, I'll send it to Dick Gamick. And they send me they cover it. So I'll say that. It's worked for me. Okay. So we were talking about Roger Holmes and your qualifications by comparison and you wanting to stay in this job. Let's talk about your health, because he brings it up every 10 seconds. Are you half dead? Do you run marathons? Have you had 25 heart surgeries? I mean, what's the story with your health?
Well, when you ask about marathons, in my opinion, there are a lot of people that like to run. There are two words in the English language that are an absolute oxymoron and should never be used together, and that's fun run. I'm not a runner. I don't like running, but I do. I had open heart surgery 10 years ago. All the media was involved in it. There was never any secret about that. I had a 7-way bypass.
Holy.
I have never had a heart attack. I see my doctors. I see my cardiologist every 6 months. We do blood tests. We do the whole bit. Every single test has been perfect. My heart is doing fine. It's been 10 years since that happened. I had an electrical failure, was the best they could determine here maybe a year and a half ago, just over a year and a half ago. My heart quit. It quit 7 times in one night. I have a pacemaker, no question. I chucker hunt. I walk a lot. I do push-ups every day as part of my physical fitness routine. I walk between a lot of different places. I do a lot of physical exercise. I'm a very physical person. I don't have any restrictions, and I'm doing fine. My weight's good. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think I said the other day that I'll be glad to put my medical records up just as soon as Mr. Holmes puts up his psychological records, and we can go from there.
I would just like to say, as an attorney, if your health is poor, I don't think you could do the job, because I have a cold and I want to die, and all I am is a divorce lawyer. And I'm 35 as of a few days ago. So
I'm 64 years old. That's what I'm happy to be here.
I don't know why the hell you want this job, Dick. That's the only question I have. I'm wondering about your sanity, why you want this job.
That's probably valid, because I also have 32 years in the PERS system. So I can retire at any time, but I like, this is what I do.
You're a sick puppy. So failure to support children, that's my area. And I want to talk about it when we get back from a break, because it's something I'm interested in hearing about. And we'll be right back.
Who's on your Schnitt list? Todd Schnitt's list is growing every day. Listen live weekdays at noon. The Schnitt Show, Fox News Radio 1270.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon, with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
This time of year, trillions of leaves are falling gently from the trees, and every leaf that falls represents time running out. Hours and minutes blowing away, because you only have until the season ends November 1st to get to the Lexus Certified Pre-Owned Season to Change event. Right now, we're offering special 0.9% APR financing and irresistible lease rates on every certified pre-owned Lexus. That's not just on selected models, it's on every model, even our groundbreaking hybrids. And we inspect all our vehicles even more scrupulously than you do. So, that Lexus you've been fantasizing about all year, it's waiting for you now. But you'd better get there soon, before the trees and the showrooms are bare. The Lexus Certified Pre-Owned Season to Change event, now through November 1st. See Lexus of Reno or visit LexusCPO.com.
36-month payments of $28.16 per thousand finance. Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important APR program limitations and offer details. Only a limited number of customers will qualify. No down payment required if qualified. Offer ends November 1st, 2010.
Fox 1270.
Myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with Dick Gammack, and we were talking about failure to support a child because there is a felony on the books that can be charged against a person if they owe over, I think it's $10,000 in back child support. And I don't see them prosecuted very often in my personal office, and was interested in knowing Mr. Gammack's philosophy on the subject.
It's once we prosecute someone and we convict them, it's usually going to prison because there's a long history, and that cuts off all revenue sources. And we don't see, in that particular division, we don't see our main thrust to be prosecution of people, because we do have quite a few of them we could prosecute.
Sure.
But we see our main thrust in getting money so we can get that to the children through the custodial parent. So what I have done with the two attorneys you mentioned earlier is, when I came into office, I just told them, get the money. Just anything we can do legally and ethically, I always throw that in there because it's true, but anything we can do that way, just go get the money. And they have come back. They've seized vehicles. They have seized Christmas accounts. They've seized all kinds of things over the years in order to make sure we get the money to the children. In the 15 years we've been there, we've collected $300 million and distributed that to the children of this community through the child support system. And that keeps people off welfare. That keeps people off having to get money from other places in order to make it. So that's our philosophy. When we finally figure out that we're just up against a wall and it's our last-ditch effort, then we will prosecute. And we do have a federal law that allow us to prosecute in other jurisdictions. So if they take off out of here, we catch them somewhere else, we can set up the system so we prosecute there. And we've prosecuted people as far away as Texas.
I think the threshold's too low, personally. I think it needs to be like 50 grand. I know that sounds horrible if you're a mother and someone owes you 50 grand, but I can't tell you how quick that number adds up, because someone loses their job and they miss a few payments with compounding interest on interest with penalties, et cetera, in the DA's office. And the audits aren't always accurate because they're self-reported by mommy. Mommy signs an affidavit that says, daddy hasn't paid me all these months. And the DA has no idea until daddy comes forward with his proof, and daddies are boys. So they don't keep proof and they like to pay with cash. Don't make me kill you guys. So side note, I just think the threshold needs to be a little higher, but there you go. All right. We have a question that's interesting, and it might take a little time. We don't have a ton of time. So, Susan, talk quickly about California Prop 19. You had a question for Mr. Gammack.
Yeah. Hi. I was just wondering if Proposition 19, which is the legalization, taxation, and regulation of marijuana, passes in California, how are we going to deal with enforcement in Nevada?
That's it's state law, so enforcement's not going to be a big issue. The issues are going to be, because Oregon's had real liberal marijuana laws for years and years, and they show up
Shocker.
Down here with their marijuana and they get in trouble.
Were you guys at the Willie Nelson concert?
I just would like to say, I think this is going to be a little bit different, because half of the lake is going to be legal and the other half of the lake isn't.
And that's the way it's going to be. This all goes back to Marijuana Policy Project out of Washington, D.C., And it is something that they have been, they targeted Nevada the first time out. I've been battling this almost ever since I've been district attorney because I do not believe in it. And they come in here and they try their routine, and they started this year, but then they shut down. And then they went very aggressively after Prop 19 in California. The Attorney General, Jerry Brown, just came out dead against it about a month ago in California, and they have a lot of resistance. And the last I saw said that it looked very strong that it was not going to pass. If it does pass, though, that doesn't give them the right to be carrying, selling, and distributing here in the state of Nevada, and we will still enforce the laws here. There's also another issue with that. I don't know where Attorney General Holder is going to go this time because he seems to bounce around on this, but there's another issue with this, and that it's still against federal law, even if they pass it in the state. So we'll just deal with it as it comes. You've got a good point there because it is this one of the biggest states in the country sitting right next to us here with one of the biggest populations that is trying to do that. But there are so many issues that we really don't have time this morning to talk about with marijuana. Like I said, it's a Schedule I controlled substance, which is the most dangerous drugs. That's heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine, and the rest of them are in the same schedule. We don't have the time to get into all that this morning as to how much danger it does pose. So I'm definitely against it. We'll see what California does, and we'll go from there. But to all the people that may be listening from California, even if it is legalized, it's still not legal in the state of Nevada. So
I just want to say I'm against marijuana because it's lazy. Lazy drugs that give men boobs and make people eat too much. I'm not for. There's too many buffets in Nevada. It's a bad mix, okay? People, use meth or something that makes you get up and do some housework. That's all I have to say. I know that the DA cannot support that.
Marilyn and I don't agree with that statement. But
I know you cannot agree with that, so I'll just say that. Let's talk about prostitutes. So we have a few more minutes, and I love prostitutes. So prostitution in Washoe County, is that something we might see in the future? Because I need more whores closer to me.
Prostitution normally does not fall under our bailiwick because that is violations of the various city ordinances and codes. So the city of Reno works, as you're aware, you see the printouts in the paper at least weekly of where they pick up prostitutes.
Not those kind. I don't like those nasty street hookers. I want the real good, yummy brothel girls. So will we ever see a brothel in Washoe County under your regime?
I have no say in that whatsoever. That would be strictly up to the county commission and the legislature. The county commission has the authority to create brothels within the counties. And I grew up in a town with five legal brothels.
What town is that? I need
Elko.
To go there.
Elko used to.
I had no idea.
Elko had them.
Go Elko.
Winnemucca has them. A lot of the
I
small
know Winnemucca
towns,
has them right next to the court, basically, which I love.
So a lot of the small towns do have them. A lot of argument both ways, the moral issues and everything else. But to me, having grown up in a town that had them, it puts all of them in basically under control, both medically and to make sure that you don't have things going on like trick rolls and other things happening. The whole time I grew up, we never had any problems. There were rules that they had to abide by. They could not be downtown after dark, getting rid of the street walking. They're medical. They had to have medical examinations. They had to have medical certification and clearance. There were a lot of rules that they had to live by, and it worked, and they didn't seem to have any problem with it. So I've been in favor of it to that extent, but then I also understand the moral issues and everything else. But come on, folks.
People are going to do
it. Sex is the longest thing ever since there was Adam and Eve. I mean,
well, and you talked a lot about prosecuting sex crimes. If people can pay to get it, I wonder if that helps, you know, that go down.
It's
not the same power struggle.
When you start talking sexual assault and stuff like that, that's what it is. It's power. More it is.
They'll play rape
sex.
Scenario at the Mustang Ranch. Come on, they'll do anything. I don't know if that'll quite give them the trick, but they're quite good actresses.
Yeah, but it's power. It's a power thing.
All right. I'm just trying to be optimistic here. Well, that was a very interesting show, and I appreciate you coming on, Mr. Gammack, and taking the hater calls. I'm sorry that people with good things to say didn't call, but I think that maybe the decks were stacked a little, it sounds like. Anything else you want to talk about in the DA's office when we have a last minute here as far as the programs you're still trying to implement that you hope to be able to do in the next 4 years if you get elected?
Well, we have a lot of stuff still going on. We have some programs right now. We're working on an unsolved team that'll be countywide, all the major agencies. It'll be out of our office, and we're looking at bringing back some outstanding. We have just some outstanding people retire lately in investigations, so we're looking at doing that. I would ask people, if you want more information on me, go to www.dickgammack.us, www.dickgammack.us.
All right.
And that's my website. And thank you for having me on, Marilyn.
Sure, enjoy my pleasure. It. Thanks again. And get on the MarilynYorkShow.com if you want to see what's coming up next week. Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
News Radio, AM 1270, KBZZ.